Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck and Julie here. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up. Here in Colorado, we're in the winter freeze. You only have two seasons in Colorado, winter and summer. We had summer a few days ago. We'll have summer return. But right now, there's snow on the ground and it's cold out there.
And I got to say, as far as I'm concerned, that can be all of the snow for the winter. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Hey, no, I don't think so.
Not our luck. Hey, want to let folks know, as always, you can check out, listen live or catch a podcast at chuckandjulie.com. If you want to join us on Zoom, just go to zoom.us. And the meeting number is 209-576-4233. You can also go to bbsradio.com. They have links to all of that there. Show brought today in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Hey, and I want to tell folks, I'm trying to do this tonsil thing. I got my hair cut. And you know, sometimes I get people say who does it. So if anybody wants to know, feel free to just send me an email through the chuckandjulie.com site, and I'm happy to pass that information on to you. But sometimes I think I learned in the TV world, when your hair looks different one day from the next day, it's always just a good idea to talk about it. At least acknowledge it. Casper Stockham coming on with a special guest, but wanted to open up today with Chris Doty, who's basically just active in everything. Hey, Chris, if you want to unmute yourself and go ahead and turn your camera on so everybody can see you there, that'd be great.
Did you get a new haircut, Chris?
Yeah, Chris, did you get your haircut? or if you don't want to come on camera, there you go. So you didn't get a new haircut, but I did there. So to sort of set the stage, Chris sent us an email the other day, and he's sort of forming a new, I guess for lack of a better put, a media organization. And there have, when I first came out to Colorado, there was something called the Colorado Press Club. And pretty much you joined it then. And over the years, it largely became more PR people, frankly, than media people, right?
Well, as you know, the Rocky Mountain News disappeared, as Denver Post started cutting back more and more. And now, quite frankly, they're up in Adams County. They're not even located in Denver. So the Colorado Press Club, who had this great old building in downtown,
right,
a small old building, and it was a lot of fun, and a lot of people went over there to get drunk. I mean, that's what press clubs, at least traditionally, old reporters.
That is a tradition we could keep there.
Well, it was. You have to remember, I mean, if people don't know.
I think I just created a new mission statement.
There you go. But it really was. I mean, I did an intern for the Nashville, Tennessee, and by 3 o'clock, everybody was sauced. I mean, all the lower reporters, not the top editors, but everybody was.
Now, that was not that true in the TV world because you had the 5 o'clock newscast.
You couldn't.
It was discouraged to be.
But anyway, you know, people didn't make much money in the old days. You know, that back in the 60s, you know, before that, for the turn of the century and everything else, the other century.
That was before my time.
Before your time. But those reporters, long-term reporters, either got in and got out or you became an alcoholic.
No, Chuck, he's digressing.
I'm not digressing. Just telling like it is. Come on. True straight up. You know,
digressing into the good old days.
Yeah.
What has happened, though, I would say within the past year, the Colorado Press Club, the Colorado Press Association, has been essentially taken over by extreme progressives who were using it in order to get grants to fund extremely progressive media projects.
Well,
they're doing stories that they will then ship out to other news organizations.
Well, you have to remember the Colorado Press Club got in lots of trouble because it all of a sudden got all this debt, which it hadn't revealed to its members. And so it basically went bankrupt. I'm not sure if it technically went bankrupt, but it technically, you know, it was.
No one belonged to it anymore.
No, you know, well, you couldn't.
I want to jump in right there because I did go ahead and register and create the Corporation for Colorado Press Club. I think you're referencing the Colorado Press Association.
Yes. Okay.
So yeah. The club
don't,
and
don't start me off with a besmirched rep before I even get going.
That's right. No, good point.
Well, it got a besmirched rep.
Well, let's go into the new one.
Wait a minute. So it essentially died. Although enterprising left-wing people who, hey,
here's an opportunity to get money.
Another one that went bankrupt, or at
the
least
Colorado Independent.
Colorado Independent. And so a couple of the far-left people on there decided, hey, let's get together with the head of the Colorado Press Association and let's just do a moneymaker. We can get all the left-wing governments to give us grants and all that, and then we can get our own stories done, and you can consult with Tina Griego and who is the other one? I forget the other woman's name. Susan Green.
Susan Green.
And you can have stories for your very own. And so, you know, we own a local paper. And so they said, you know, you need some stories, some good old things on nonprofits, on
coronavirus,
diversity in the workforce, inclusion. You know, we can help you. Tina and Susan, can you? And we can even get you some grants, maybe mini grants, you know, just a little portion of our big grants. So they, you know, to their benefit, they figured out how to take a lemon and make it lemonade for themselves.
Right.
But anybody who would take a story from the Colorado Press Association is a hack. It's just a hack.
Well, so which leads us to Chris then, and then we'll get to some other things that are going on today, which makes it so timely. But why don't you explain what it is, you know, you're kind of launching and why?
So 5 or 6 years ago, the seeds of this were born standing in a biker bar with Peter Boyles.
It's all good ideas.
Well, it wasn't his idea. I asked him, I said, what's the future of talk radio? Because at that point he was concerned. We'd had some transitions of stations and things like that. And he was concerned about the future of where radio, talk show radio was going and accurate news reporting and things like that. So we stood there and talked, and here about a year ago, I started seeing things at the first of this year. I started getting concerned. I mean, more so than ever, more inaccurate reporting, more, it seemed like it was thematic. You can watch YouTube videos where they've got scripts, every word's the same from station to station, from media outlet to media outlet. And at that point, it dawned on me that I'll go ahead and call it liberal media has their script. They have their dialogue. They seem to be on the same page. And I started thinking, well, it's time to start fighting back. And I approached you and several other, a small handful of other people that I've had contact with, and brought this idea up and asked if it would be something that would be good. Another person that has given it kind of an initial nod is Joel Altman, and he's FEC, essentially, Faith, Education, and Community, or Commerce, and in Reopen Colorado. So as this started to evolve, I don't want to necessarily create an edict on how this should be done. But I think if we had kind of 12 founding parents to this organization and create a board and maybe grow it to 60 or 70 members, the board would rotate on a biannual basis of some type of shape or form. It would become a resource for future platform development. I've watched you folks struggle with, I hate the word folks. That administration put that in my mouth, and I hate the word folks. But I watched as you struggled to try and get your YouTube audience up, and I started thinking that there's a formula here that we could help devise. One afternoon, I was listening to Mandy McConnell, and somebody asked her, where are the new talk show radio hosts coming from? And she said, quite frankly, she thinks they'll come out of the YouTube environment and all of that. So is what I wanted to do is create a platform where we can nurture and grow honesty and integrity, first off, defend our constitutional rights, the freedom of press, you know, and all everything else that's included in there, and create an organization that we could create into perpetuity. I don't look to augment my financial income at all, but I could see this as a resource. Let's use Stephen Tubbs as an example with his decay in Denver. Maybe we could be a funding source for projects similar to that. And that's where it's kind of at this point. I want to lay the groundwork. I don't want to get too far into it because I'd like to have those 12 people that are in the business, in the industry, and live and breathe and walk it every day, give it direction. So that's where we're at this point.
Well, yeah, you know, one of the things the Colorado Press Association did for you if you owned a paper is that advertisers would come in from outside of Colorado and they'd say, well, where do you think we ought to advertise?
Ad agencies and things like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and so, you know, for our newspaper, it was an important source of getting people who wouldn't normally otherwise get. Yeah, yeah. They say, well, these are guys great. Now, today, of course, you know, they'll only give it to their female lefty friends. I mean, that's the only people that we haven't gotten anything from the Press Association ever since it went bankrupt or had all those troubles. So, but people by just kind of like, okay, we're going to go to Colorado. Who do we check who's good? Well, you know, the local statewide press association is a great way to do that. Now, hopefully, you know, you've got the trade name and it could be very important for conservative news outlets, one way or the other, on how to get the word out for somebody who's coming to Colorado, doesn't know the territory.
You know, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, equally important, what we are seeing, what I've experienced with Chuck and I, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and not so much YouTube, but they obviously censor it, right? I can have the show, I could try to post a show on Facebook and boost it, as they say, right? And if I use certain words in it that are progressive kind of, you know, unwoke words, they say the ad is rejected because it doesn't meet community standards. I can take the exact same show, and if I just say Chuck and Julie show, then they'll let me boost it. So they obviously...
Or you put out PC stuff and it sounds like it's a liberal one.
Right, right. And they let you. So I think, Chris, where this is really important is the left has clearly, in my opinion, weaponized the mainstream corporate media.
They've weaponized everything in life.
But I mean, it's so weaponized. And if you're a conservative voice, I mean, look what happened on Chuck and I at KNUS Radio.
That's
no accident, right? You've got other talk show hosts I know who worry about what they say and worry about
I promise you, no, anyone who's on the air today is on
broadcast radio.
Broadcast radio. Very much monitors what they say.
Right.
Very much cuts it down. Very much. And that used to be true.
No, but
Alan Berg was the most outrageous person I've ever heard.
I'm a Denver native. I remember him well.
Well, there's no Alan Bergs out there. I promise you. There's not even Chuck and Jill. There's no one who will not, you know, obey whatever the commandments are to us, you know, to at least to the extent they can stomach it. You have to. You know, with Stefan, whether it's Peter, whether it's anybody else.
Mandy McConnell. All you got to do is listen to sort of the sports talk shows. But that's why it's so important, though, because it is very hard, you know, for somebody who has a conservative voice to have a voice in the media this day and age. And that's why I think your idea is great and everybody should get behind it, because it sort of evens up the playing field and it gives conservative voices sort of a platform and a place where they can get support and references, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know that I follow you on Facebook faithfully, and you'll do a push and it won't come up in my feed, and it should be top of list. You should be like a number one, Michelle Malkin. She should be a number one in my feed, and I never see anything she puts out.
No.
If you go on Michelle's Facebook page, one day today, I think she's an activist. One day, they change her designation. They mess with her. If you go to connect on her web address, that doesn't meet our community standards, and it won't even connect you to the web address. So it is more than weaponized. And I think we're seeing that on multiple fronts, not only in press, but I think that this is such an important area. The days of, you know, what I learned in high school in journalism class are gone. The honor and the integrity are gone. And I won't even give honor to them by giving their call letters or their station names. But what we hear and see on broadcast TV is beneath the pale of reprehensible. It's disgusting what we're being subjected to. And it comes a time to fight back. So anybody that, if we have ears here that want to join in, that if you're in media, of course, everybody is invited. I would like to see our initial group to be kind of, the godfathers of local broadcast, and I'm not going to exclude broadcast TV. Channel 7 put out some very good stuff recently, and Salinger did a good job when we were down at Civic Center Park. I mean, he stood at the back of the arena, and I had eye contact with him. He was scared to death. He didn't know if he was going to get whacked next. So there are some wonderful people in broadcast TV, but I see the platform evolving. I think, like you're pointing out, Chuck, and both of you, it has been weaponized. Our freedom of speech is gone. And yeah, Chuck, you're right. Enough. I mean, and you know, Chuck, a slip of the tongue. I mean, it was a off color comment, and they cut you off of the knees. You were done. I mean, I don't even think you finished the broadcast that
well,
day.
No, this is important to learn.
It's a hard lesson.
When I gave my comment, and I made a million worse ones. You know, whatever you think of that
yeah,
one,
really.
I made a million worse ones. Not a single call, not a single complaint.
From us 2 days.
Nothing, 2 days. And then that's when Jason Salzman, Media Matters of Colorado, wherever it succeeded Media Matters, started their campaign. You know, they called into the station. And as of that, you know, the minute they started at noon, when they put out the campaign, and they inundated the station, and then Salem just kind of went, you know, we can virtue signal here, and we can just fire the guy. You know, that'll be quick, and then we'll put it up. See if we can cause more damage.
I don't want to put you out as the poster boy, but you are in a way a definition of what I think it was an unfortunate thing. And I know Kendrick Castillo's dad, and I have empathy for everybody's hurt feelings in that situation. But it was a slip. It was an off-colored comment, and it didn't warrant what
you
thought.
It wasn't intended to be what it came. To be. You know, it's nobody gets hurt. But when you go to these poor people and you are part of this massive thing, then you get them upset about it. And then all of a sudden it is awful. I mean, what is an innocuous comment becomes hurtful and awful. And the kids who got shot in the schools, and Julie's been to school shootings, nothing worse, everything else. But none of it matters.
I was driving by Columbine High School the day that happened. I was moving into a new home just down the street. And even though there is that attack on each one of you individually as newscasters, the idea that 710, and I love 710, but if I get out of area, I don't know if you can even get it at your home, can you? I mean, on broadcast, my sister can't in South Jefferson County. So the voice of common sense, reason, honor, and integrity, back to those words again, are dwindling, and we need to start creating new opportunities and create fertile fields. And I don't know that it's broadcast radio. I think of, you know, what is it, 560? They've got some good people. Mandy does a good job on 850, and then 710. And those are the only ones that I really listen to. And broadcast TV, I haven't even owned a TV in 12 years. So I tell you my opinion of, I really haven't. And I know that sounds really odd in this day and age, but Newsmax is a good source, and some other broadcasts, but I don't know.
It's well, and you know, and the thing is, you know, just a closing comment on what happened with us. I mean, they've been trying for a long time. That was certainly not the first shot. They've been trying for a long time. And here's the thing. And it wasn't,
effort. All it takes, literally, all it takes is you get 40 or 50 people, you pay $15 an hour, and you have them all call in at once. That's all it takes. I mean, whether it's Rush Limbaugh, whether it's
Sean Hannity,
Tucker Carlson, all of them are almost thrown off the air.
And the thing is, and that's why I think this is so important, because again, the whole thing is evolving too, right? You look at TV ratings, radio station, broadcast radio ratings are way down. There are, like you said, Chris, there's so many different platforms out there. And if you're even if you're a progressive voice trying to figure out, well, how do you make your way through all of this? But it is so important, because I think we are so close in this country to losing the ability to just to have your own opinion, even if it's wrong. Like, what do they say? I have the right to be wrong if I want to, right?
That's not an opinion. There's one who was thrown off, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. I'm always interested in people getting thrown off. He had said colored woman instead of woman of color.
Right.
And that was enough to get him fired. I mean, he wasn't intending anything negative. He wasn't intending anything bad. And why colored woman is so much more horrendously bad that you're a bigot as opposed to woman of color. So the PC world has just small juxtapositions of words. I mean, back in the 1940s, they called people colored. And therefore anything. So woman of color is perfect. colored woman is racist, bigoted, well, and it got him thrown off.
Here's the other thing too. I read this today in the Gateway Pundit, and those organizations, those blog sites are always getting throttled and cut off. But it was interesting.
Well, just read Wikipedia's description of Gateway Pundit. I mean, it's just racist, bigoted, right wing garbage.
What they were talking about was the fact that Media Matters, which is an extremely Soros-funded progressive organization that pretends like it monitors the media, is working with Facebook to decide, you know, which ads are biased, which news is fake news, things like that. So, and Facebook is letting them. So I think, again, like you said, Chris, we have to fight back. We see, and we can go into this. What do you think? Are you up to speed on what the Washington Post and what's his name are doing to Donald Trump over the whole coronavirus interview? What's your thought on that?
Well, and allegedly calling our war veterans suckers, it's been debunked by John Bolton, who is now a political enemy to Donald Trump, and this continues to go on, and it's no longer factual news reporting; it's perception. I think Peter was even talking about that this morning. I listened to him for an hour or so, but it's the perception, it's the noise that you can create. Yes. Chuck, you're right. If we can get 100 people to call a radio station and act like they're a million, and that's the only voice they hear, because the rest of us are listening to the radio, we're not going to bother to call and say, oh my gosh, you know, that was the wrong phraseology. You're getting fired for phraseology. You're getting fired for outdated or progressive words. If there's a new terminology that these kids are using in their social media, if you use that now, and I know some words that if you used it, you'd be fired. But it's acceptable in the younger group.
Oh, it's on
group.
TikTok. Right. We listen to Rev on our son. But I think, though, again, what you're proposing for me.
Well, why yours is so important, and I'm not sure this is exactly the mission statement for yours, but there is no countervailing one. Once they begin the onslaught, there, you know, whether it's Salem, whether it's anybody, there's no one who'll go, wait a minute. You know, that's just a misphrasing of a couple words of which order you put them in that one guy's case, and we'll go support him. There is zero support, zero. And we were lucky. We were lucky because the actual listeners called in large numbers and said, this is bull. We don't like it. You know, what are you doing? Why'd you fire him? You know, Julie didn't say anything, so why'd you fire her? I mean, they slash back at him, and I must admit the local management kind of went,
I think both of you gotten to know me enough at this point that I've got a creative and fertile mind. And the reason I'm very shallow in the description of what I've perceived here is, once again, I want Chuck and Julie. I want, you know, I won't name any other names. There's a small handful of people that are committed to this already. I want this to be an organization that's driven, you know, an organization either can be driven from the top or the bottom. And so I don't think there should be a figurehead, Salem Broadcasting, or anybody else that's in charge of it. This organization should be driven by 50 to 100 local media personalities or reporters or people that are active in the community that want a voice in this. I wouldn't preclude, you know, somebody that's a non-media person being involved, but this should be driven from the bottom up. It shouldn't be an oligarchy that they set in place and say, this is the rules. And if you make a mistake, but yet it will fight for your rights. It will fight for the small foible that you might make on TV. But I mean, there's funding sources, there's things, there's a million things obviously in the back of my mind. I don't want to get it that far down the road until we all sit in a room or we do a Zoom meeting of 10 or 12 people and conceptualize this. And because as we grow this, then it'll be with us for decades is my concept. Because I don't see anybody else fighting for our rights.
Our damn freedoms and our damn rights.
I have to say, finding 100 people that are not progressive in today's media world will be almost impossible.
Well, here's what I would say, and tell me now, you guys may disagree with me on this, but I think that the concept of, you know, the free marketplace of ideas, to me, I'd be like, hey, if somebody who is of a more progressive ilk, if NPR wants to come in, that's okay. To me,
well, the only problem with that, Julie, is they will come in and well, it will be a left-wing organization. That. within a
week. We have to be strong. But I mean, to me, I think one of the, what is so upsetting to me about what we're seeing with the silencing of voices is it eliminates people, giving them an ability to choose, right? If you're only hearing one sound, then that's what that's what you think is going on. I think in this country, what's made this country and what's always to me made being a journalist so exciting and so fun and interesting was just the whole conglomeration of ideas and thoughts and different kinds of people.
That needs to come back, Julie. That's exactly what needs to be back. That idea that you're going to go out. I mean, I loved your reporting. That's why you're an award-winning reporter. You get out there and dig, and you have the slants and the angles and things like that. Chuck, back to your point on being overwhelmed by just a small group. But when you send in a special forces team, usually that's a group of 10 or 12 people, and that's what we're doing here. We're creating the new special forces of media. We want to. I don't mean to wage war. But I do want to declare a war that we're not going to put up with this anymore. And we want clear and accurate reporting. And it might start out small. This might take by the next election cycle, 4 years from now, that this voice is strong enough that we can fight it back. And we'll use Trump as an example. We've got stuff going on with Hickenlooper and any one of our local politicians are subject to this. Who do we want to endorse? Casper will be on in a minute. I love this man. I will stand next to him, shoulder to shoulder. I'll be out at his rally out in Golden tonight. Hope I didn't steal his thunder there. But there's an individual that we should be fighting for, that we should stand up for. And we don't know what attack. I mean, the first time I heard about Casper, it was less than a glowing credentials of who he was. They minimized who he was. I thought, how did he come to be in this position? Then I read his story. And it's like, well, yeah, they made it sound like he's just some guy that drives an Uber or a Lyft. I don't remember what it was. And nothing wrong with making a living doing that and doing that, but they tried to minimize his background and they tried to make it sound like he's not worthy of that. I only use that as an example because I'm seeing his name here on the screen.
Right. But do you know who is his biggest critic? The one that throws all the dirt at him?
No, I don't.
Establishment Republicans.
Yeah.
That's who does it. Even
can't be in our club.
Steve House's biggest proponent is the one who trashes Casper anytime he can. I mean, that's in Colorado, establishment Republicans will go after non-establishment Republicans with utter viciousness.
But what I really love about your idea, and we're talking with Chris Doty about his great idea to form, he is forming, and hopefully we can help him with this, Colorado Press Club.
Colorado Press Club, Inc. Okay. It's a Colorado corporation. Press it's Club. Not nonprofit. I wanted it to be a nonprofit, but I don't want to have to report and disclose fundings and things like that. If you go nonprofit, then all the books have to be open, and not that I want to be secretive, but I don't want everybody digging in there. But go ahead, Julie.
But here's to me what's important. When you look at we need to, listen and look at what the left is doing that's effective, I think, and go ahead and copy it and improve on it ourselves. And one of the things they've clearly done is they have used the media organizations and Hollywood and all of those organizations to help push their agenda. And you're absolutely right. It's time for us to fight back. And this is one, like you said, next election cycle, this is one arm. But I think if we have it up in place, it can be an effective arm and it can help people because we leave the radio station. I mean, when you talk about talk radio, there is no talk radio. I really believe is going to be gone here in a matter of years. There's not money for it. So what is next? Well, podcast. And I can tell you, having had us do that, it's tricky to set up, right? You kind of, make your way through the forest and hope that you're going in the right direction until you fall off the cliff.
Well, bring us back to Trump. Yeah. So Trump sits down with Bob Woodward for 18 hours of interviews. And this is, I almost never agree with Meghan McCain, but I agree with her here. I cannot tell you the level of insanity you have to reach to give Bob Woodward 18 hours of on-the-record interviews if you're President Trump. Every blow that comes from him, he deserves him and the White House. And the next guy down said everything else aside. Take it from the perspective of someone who thinks Trump's approach to the media generally has been politically wise and successful. Then, all caps, why on earth would he talk to Bob Woodward? Why? Well, I can tell you why he talked to Bob Woodward. And
The name recognition.
No.
Oh, you don't think so?
Well, yeah, sure. That's part of it. But we got thrown off the air, right? So I got calls from a lot of media. I got calls from New York Times. And I gave him an interview. Why? Because I really didn't have any other outlet. And Julie's screaming at me in the background, hang up on him, hang up on him. It's the New York Times. And I kind of felt that the guy was sympathetic. So I gave him the interview. And quite frankly, the New York Times story was by far the most accurate, most balanced of any story we had. So when you, if you're Trump, and he'd had a successful career.
Right, there isn't anywhere else to go.
Yeah, you know, he kind of goes, well, I'll give Woodward a you know, enormous amount of time, 18 hours, and that will help mold his thinking. Now, they did the exact same thing with, I forget now, the guy who they give the interview with, you know, gave him all the access to, and then his book came out, Utterly Scathing. What he doesn't understand is, Bob Woodward has no choice. If he comes out something sympathetic to Trump, he'd be done.
Yeah, they'd get rid of him.
He has only one way to go, and that's to trash him. And that Trump didn't understand that is a little sad. I mean, it is.
But that's a good way.
The grandiose plan here is, going back to Peter Boyle's 5 years ago to the next election cycle, 4 years from where we're at now, whatever the format the media might be, to have 24-hour-a-day broadcast of sympathetic, I could list 10 or 12 people at this point that would be either on a podcast basis on YouTube or now everybody switching over because YouTube's throttling back, you know.
Yes.
So whatever it will be in 10 years from now, because I don't know, Julie, I agree with you. I don't think broadcast radio will exist, not as we know it now. I mean, it's already all the music stations are gone. They're just all computers. I see Casper and his guests for this evening coming up over there, so let's make time for them. I want to thank you so much, and I'm going to count on you two to help me to get to a couple of these people. I've got a couple gotchas. There's two or three people that I think are critical for Colorado media that we need to get on board with this, and I want you to start twisting some arms for me. Thank you for your time. You're both wonderful. Thank you so much for what you do.
Take care.
Bye.
Same to you too, and thank you for the work that you do. But speaking of that, we see him now.
We have Casper Stockholm,
hardest
congressional candidate ever.
Once again, Casper, thank you. And I don't want to take any of your thunder. Why don't you introduce your guest and tell us what's going on?
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Awesome. So I have sitting right next to me, as you can see, Mr. Elbert Guillory, former senator from Louisiana, made a big splash on the scene several years ago when he switched from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. He's been a speaker at CPAC and West Conservative Summit. He's been on Fox News and other national media outlets. He's here for a couple of days to help me campaign. We have a nice event this evening we want to talk about, but I just wanted you guys to get a chance to talk with him and him to share some things with you as well.
That's perfect. Great.
Well, first, let me say, sir, we're sorry about the snow with you coming
from
Louisiana.
Stay till Saturday.
If you're going to be here for the weekend, you'll see the thing. You know, I used to be a Democrat, too, many years ago. And then as we joke, I evolved. What happened that made you change? And let me ask you, do you even recognize what they call the Democrat Party these days?
First, let me tell you, I love the snow.
Okay.
Casper had done this just for me and my family. My grandchildren are here with me. And so I assumed that Casper had done it.
Well, he did. It took a little bit of arranging, but he did pull it off.
Labor Day snowstorm. I love it. Values made me change from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. We just grown so far apart. They were so anti-gun, and I'm pro-gun. They were so pro-murdering little babies in their mother's stomachs, and I find that barbaric. Fortunately, I left before the New Green Deal, the Green New Deal came about. That would have just blown the top of my head off.
What is your sense? I mean, it sounds like you're here. Sounds like you're traveling around the country. You talk to a lot of people. You know, you see polls that show Biden up this, up that, up that. What's your sense of the sense of the country?
I believe that right now, the polls are saying much the same thing that they said before Donald Trump was elected. They were saying that Hillary is in, Hillary's up by 15 points, and Trump won. Mm. And they have a vested interest in telling that lie that they told then and that they're telling now. Certainly those figures, the Rasmussen poll, indicate that there's a major shift in the black community mm-hmm. toward Donald Trump and away from the insane policies of Biden and Pelosi and AOC. So I think that I believe that Trump is going to win. I believe that he will win by a substantial margin and that we will have four more years of his unstatesmanlike verbiage, but his very, very productive what he does. I mean, he delivers. Right. He delivers.
You know, and I would say to you, my sense on Trump is I think he is the right president for these times. I think a more politically correct, polite guy, would have just been trampled by it.
Let me ask you, okay. why have you decided to come to Colorado to support Casper?
I met Casper probably a decade or so ago and grew to really respect him. I believe that our nation is at a point of crisis, and we need smart, common sense, committed people to lead us out of this morass. Casper is one of those people. And so we are here trying to drum up support, more additional support for him, reminding folks that he needs campaigns, need funds, and we have a beautiful billboard up on Highway 70.
I saw your tweet. You're getting, one thing I respect about Casper, as we've been interviewing him for years and years too, and Casper, it's like the times have caught up with you all of a sudden. I mean, you've been saying the same thing forever. You've been talking about how Republicans need to reach out to minority communities. Yep. You've been out there in the community doing all of this work. Mm-hmm. I want to ask maybe the both of you, what is so changed that all of a sudden now it seems to me that the things Casper has been saying forever are just really resonating with particularly members of the minority community?
Yeah. Well, I can start to answer that question. And what's changed is now, it used to be cute to try to get the black vote. It used to be kind of okay. You really didn't need it to win national elections. And you didn't need it to win state elections. Well, that's changing, especially here in Colorado. So if they don't do what I'm talking about, they're going to lose and lose big. Trump knows this. He has been courting but not just going after the black vote. He's been doing things to earn the black vote.
Yes.
And because of that, he's getting the black vote. So,
what a concept, huh?
Yeah, right.
I'm McCain and the rest of them, they'd say they wanted the minority vote or the black vote. And I guess for Bush, too, he did try to get it for Latinos. He was fairly successful at it. But most of the others, they just say it. That's it. They don't campaign in the neighborhoods. They don't try to get contacts. They don't spend money. They don't,
Here's what they did. They would go to the NAACP and get booed and whatever.
Yeah.
And they would go to a couple other black organizations, maybe a black church or two, and that's about it. They would just talk the talk, but they would never walk the walk. Right. Trump is doing all of the above. He launched an organization called Black Voices for Trump. That's never happened before from any Republican ever.
Then let me ask you this, and then you combine that with, to me, what's going on in some of the major cities where, you see it in the headlines, they'll say Black Lives Matter, and they'll talk about, which is bad, obviously, somebody, a black man getting injured or shot or killed by police. But then in the meantime, all of, the deaths in Chicago and things like that. And it seems to me also the Democrats taking that vote for granted, not doing anything for the people, just sort of making token gestures, that's going to be coming obvious too, isn't it?
Yes.
I must take a moment to remind all of us of the production of Richard Nixon, President Nixon, and Trump are the only two presidents during my life, and as you can see, I'm not a spring chicken, the only two presidents during my lifetime who really, really produced for the minority communities of America.
Right. Well, through Nixon, you got affirmative action, whatever you think of affirmative action.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
He created more minority millionaires through government contracts, giving shares of government contracts, did great for minority employment. But now, this man, Donald Trump, has eclipsed even Nixon.
Yeah. What do you,
I hope so.
Do you think one of the things too that I'm hoping, and we'll obviously we'll see in November if it's true, is that there, when you look at the polls and things like that, that there are a lot more people out there, no matter what their ethnicity or what party they used to vote for, that actually will be voting for Donald Trump, but they're just not telling, you know, the pollsters.
Well, if somebody calls up, and I used to do political campaigns, right? And so one of the things you do as a political campaign is you try to identify which people support you and which people support the other side. Now you can go ask them, but that's never very smart. So what you do is saying, this is ABC polling. We want to get your views on who would be the best candidate in the mayor's election. Do you like A or do you like B? And they go, I like A. Oh, that's great. Why do you like A? And bam, you know, you either know you want, never talk to these people again, get rid of them, make sure they never get to a poll within 10 miles of it. Or, you know, you send them voter registration forms, you get the absentee ballot, you do everything else. So if somebody calls you up saying, you know, I'm ABC polling, people are smart. You know, they're going, no, I ain't telling you anything, you know.
There is, you're absolutely right. There's a large silent majority that were not polled when Hillary ran.
Yeah.
And they are not being polled now because they just don't discuss it. And it's particularly with respect to President Trump, because anyone who says that they like Trump or respects Trump will get vilified and harassed. And so many people just keep quiet about it, go to the polls and press that lever and sit back and watch.
Well, and you know, Casper and guys, we'll do this a few minutes because I know you guys have like 8 million events. One of the things that I feel, and granted I'm biased, you would be representing us. I'm going to be voting for you. Chuck's going to be voting for you. I was going to joke and say Rev's going to be voting for you, but he's
Tagger,
not. That's
Tagger,
a joke.
We're getting Tagger a ballot.
Don't freak out, progressives. I'm just joking there. But I think there is a real momentum switch here. I think when you kind of came into the race, people were like, long shot, long shot. Thank you for biting the bullet for the Republican Party.
Again.
I don't think that anymore. You are all over the place. Again, I just keep saying, anytime we go, we see you at an event, everybody knows who you are. You can hear people saying, hey, there's Casper. Yeah. And even if they don't go talk to you, they know who you are. Yeah. And I think that you know, the people who say, oh, no, Ed Perlmutter's got a safe seat. I'm hoping, but I think also they might be mistaken.
Well, I'm confident that we're gaining ground because my friend Gary Kirkland is back calling people, telling them to not support me. So obviously I am well over the target.
Well, that's who I was talking about. It was Gary Kirkland.
Yeah.
I mean, Gary Kirkland is a Southerner with a big Southern drawl. And he sounds like, you know, like a Southern sheriff, an educated Southern sheriff. And it's just disgusting. I mean,
he's a Republican.
Well, he's Steve House's biggest supporter. And he calls himself a big Trump supporter.
Well, and why he's getting involved in your race is beyond.
Yeah. Deal with Gary Kirkland?
Yeah. Every time he attacks me, I actually get a bump up in donations and support and everything else. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be people attacking me. This is politics.
Well, no, but a quote unquote mainstream Republican.
Yeah. I mean, It's nothing new, Chuck, unfortunately. You guys know this.
You're right.
No, well, I think you must be right. You know, you must be over the target. And again, I'm just saying, you know, because it's not like you're getting a ton of help from the media, right? It's not like
or the state Republican Party. Or the national Republican Party.
You know, people know who you are. People are responding to you. People are happy and excited to see you. And you know, like I said, you guys are everywhere. So
yeah, you know, but to your
go ahead.
No, but to your point though, this all happened by I believe it's God's grace, because when I ran the first time in CD1, you know, I didn't have a lot of name recognition, and now it's starting to build over time. And then I also get attacked because I'm the perennial candidate. I run every year, you know, every cycle I'm running, right? But that has given me a lot of name recognition, to your point. So when we're out at events, you know, now people are coming up to me and saying, "Hey, there's Casper," and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
no, they did. Yeah. I mean, the big
Vandermeer rally.
Vandermeer protest. I mean, you know,
the protesters.
The people from the speaking. Well, there are Casper's here, thousands of people there, but everyone already knew Casper, which is incredible, because other Republican candidates who could have come there, Steve House could have come, any number of them could have come. I'm not sure they're invited, quite frankly, but it was amazing. I mean, it was kind of like the Casper crowd.
In the middle of the snow.
Yeah.
Large, enthusiastic crowd for Casper.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just says a whole lot.
It does.
I think it does too.
Yeah. I can get more people out than Biden gets out any day.
I bet.
That is absolutely right. So where can folks hear you guys? What's your schedule like the rest of this week?
Yeah, so they can get all this information from my website at casper4colorado.com/events. But tonight we're going to be at In the Zone in Golden. I believe it's a restaurant type venue. So we have a lot of folks that bought tickets for that event. We'll be out there tonight. Tomorrow we have a luncheon for Hispanic leaders. Now other people can come to it, but it's really geared toward Hispanic leaders and also clergy, because we're going to be talking about the church and how they need to be involved in this race this time for sure. So we'll be talking with them. And then tomorrow night, we're going to be at the combined North and South Jeffco Tea Party event. Okay. It's going to be a combined event, but it's not going to be at the normal location. So you have to get that information from the website.
Okay.
Well, we got one listener has written in our tweet line, says he wanted to volunteer, and he went to your volunteer link on your, I guess your
website,
and he has not heard back. So
yes, so have them do it again. We're getting this is the good part, right? We're getting
good problem to have.
Exactly, it's a good problem to have. We're getting people literally every day asking for yard signs and wanting to volunteer for the campaign. Everybody on the campaign is a volunteer themselves, so they have jobs. You know, it just takes a little while to get to everybody, but we have the wind in our back.
Well, you want to get this guy on your side, because he's great. He's a regular listener and he loves you. So
have him reach out to me directly. So
how does he reach out to you directly?
Well, I don't know. I can.
Oh, nobody's gonna.
Wait, hang on a second. He's typing in there. He says maybe you need a volunteer to wrangle your volunteers.
Yeah. We do.
Leo.
Maybe he can do that.
That's right.
Leo.
Well, but that's good for folks to know. So it's kind of.
Well, how does Leo get a hold of you personally?
I don't mind giving the number. It's 720.
Write it down, Julie.
257-9461. That's 720-257-9461.
So if you get a call in from Leo, you'll know it's.
All right.
Congratulations to you for saying that. Okay. Well, you guys, thank you for your time. We're glad we at Casper arranged for it to snow so your grandkids could have that.
Enjoy it.
If he can make it snow, think what he can do in D.C.
Yeah, that's right.
His grandkids, because they live in Texas and Louisiana, they really haven't seen real snow.
Right.
So they're excited to be able to actually have a snowball fight.
There you go.
All important snowball fight, right?
And they did.
All right. Hey, guys, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Honor talking with you.
Honor talking to you.
All right, gentlemen, have a great afternoon. Good luck at all of your events.
Take care.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, there. And Leo says, Casper,
your guess
was great, and he'll help you wrangle the volunteers. Thank you, Leo, for that. There you go.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we've got a few minutes. If folks want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Let's talk about the Trump thing a little bit, because and the Trump Woodward interview, because I can see both sides. I haven't made up my mind yet on this. I was busy getting my hair done, so I didn't have time to do
that. Important things,
my priorities. Because on the one hand, I can see Trump's point. If I don't do these interviews, who am I going to do them with? On the other hand, you know that it's weaponized, and it was weaponized deliberately to drop now. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Trump gets nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and boom, they come up with this. And I got to wonder, sometimes Trump does something that seems really stupid, but then it turns out to be either accidentally
this seems very stupid.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
Because Bob Woodward has no choice. He has to understand.
But does it really hurt the president, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As we say repeatedly, you're either an offense or defense, now you're on defense explaining that you knew that the coronavirus was dead. Of course, everybody knew because they're all dying in China.
Right. And we also all knew that it was overplayed, right?
Trump. He's sat down with the New York Times editorial board, which is really composed of a lot of really weird left-wing people these days. And you do have to know where you can't win. And I think he doesn't know. He thinks he can charm them. As you said, if I just tell them the truth, they'll understand. No, it's a self-inflicted wound. And Meghan McCain was absolutely right. You're not going to.
Well, how long ago was the interview?
February 7th.
Oh, okay. Now, I would anymore. I mean, that is a sad thing to say. I mean, you'd think that you would be safe doing an interview as the president with the Washington Post, but the bottom line.
Well, everybody's criticizing Woodward and the Washington Post, saying, wait a minute. You waited on this key information until now you wanted to get your book out.
I mean, yeah. So rather than, when the coronavirus was at its peak, so to speak,
they should have gotten it right away, but they don't have
they
any.
They don't care. They
ethics.
Just,
I mean,
but I think, too, we need to be prepared. I mean, I think there's going to be
every day
a series of these.
And Fox are going to promote them. Fox will promote them.
But I think if you're the Trump campaign, you need to have a series of similar things lined up against
Nobody
Biden.
Will promote it, including Fox.
I know you're right, but I still think what you want to do is not waste too much time. You want to address it, attack it, then pivot and launch your own attack as much as possible.
Wait a minute. You don't pivot because they keep on attacking.
There's nowhere to throw the ball to.
Yeah, I pivot and throw somewhere else. Well, there is nowhere else.
Well, I think, don't you think we're going to be seeing, and they're all going to be equally stupid, right? You've got the Atlantic, which just made it up. Right,
yeah,
which is
up.
Easy to do. That's not, it doesn't take any time at all to just make up a story.
Right.
And then we saw how the other people then went ahead with making it up. You've got everyone and their mother is coming out with a book now talking about how bad Trump was, that Melania didn't like Ivanka, stuff like that.
Right.
And I guess you're right. That is their tactic, to keep them on the offensive, which is why, going back to Christodi, which is why that's so important. The reason that works is because they have a weaponized mainstream media that's willing to fire the guns for them, right?
Right.
And we need to have a broader media on the other side to say, wait a minute, right? That's not true. That's not right. And give that kind of voice a forum too.
Well, here's the problem. When you're in the middle of a war, getting somebody neutral, we'll just be fair. Well,
no.
you will be butchered. And you've got to get some kind of organization to fight, because if you're unwilling to fight, if you're willing to say, we just want to be fair.
Well, and here's the thing, we saw already after 2016, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Google, all of these big tech companies were horrified. And we've seen leaks of the meeting tapes and things like that, where they're openly saying, we need to make sure. I mean, they're as bad as Peter Strzok in the deep state, right? In their own way.
Yes, they are.
You think that they're going to try to let the same thing happen? Zuckerberg is already saying, well, we won't run any political ads in the last week.
Sure.
Like, who cares? I mean, everybody will have been voted by then anyway. But I think it's clear they're going to, they already do throttle things. You watch, Trump's Twitter reach and social media reach, which is all he has. If the mainstream media won't do it, they're already throttling that. Yeah. It's going to get worse. And again, that's why I think standing up and supporting conservative voices is one important thing that Republican Party.
One of the things we all can do is, we're
We just listen to Chuck and Julie.
Oh, yeah, no. Listen to Chuck. Oh, Julie, too. but, you know, we want to get our Trump sign, and we just got the HOI saying no signs before 45 days before the election. But get a Casper sign and get a Trump sign and, you know, probably just bang when they key our cars.
Well, and they don't. I mean, we had a neighbor that had this. I mean, I think the HOA said it has to be 45 days. But that is a good point, Chuck, because when you do that, then everybody goes, well, I'm a Trump supporter. Oh, yeah. I'm a Trump supporter. Yeah. Tonight after this, we had about a week ago, Cindy Green on, just a lady who was organizing, not even organizing. She was just holding get-togethers with like-minded women. I'm going to go to that later on tonight because I think all of those things are important. I don't know.
And I still must admit, you see, when he went to Winston-Salem in North Carolina, he had 15,000, where his next stop was thousands and thousands. And Joe Biden arrived in, I don't know where it was, but the only people greeting him were Trump supporters going 4 more years for Trump. And that was it.
And that's all they could get.
That's all they could get. Yeah, hey, we got to have a crowd. Come on. We don't care what you say.
One other thing I briefly wanted to touch on to see, are you going to do this? So Governor Polis, you'll be glad to know Governor Polis looking out for you, along with Apple and Google out for you, are going to be putting on your phones. And I don't know if you have to opt in or opt out, but they're going to track you so that if you accidentally are
Near a Republican. No. Coronavirus. That's right. I forgot.
Coronavirus.
They'll merge those two lists.
Somebody was. They're going to alert you. They're going to be tracking you.
Tracking you. Oh, there's a coronavirus coming to drop off Republican information at your door. Shoot them.
It's like, I don't know. In a million years, I cannot imagine myself saying, Governor Polis, Apple, and Google. They want to track me.
All the Democrats will love this.
Right, they want to track me.
They'll love it.
That's a good idea.
Great. Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and sign up for that. It's like, give me a break. I think they already track you anyway.
Well, of course they do. I love the Amber Alerts.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of the Amber Alert unless you go, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just asinine. You turn off your phone, there's the Amber Alert. It doesn't matter.
And then the other thing, we only got a couple of minutes too, on the Academy Awards, as if Hollywood is not in enough trouble right now. I mean, one good thing happened. I did see the cool trailer. If you haven't seen it, you should look at it. Of Tom Cruise in the next Mission Impossible, which I like and Chuck doesn't, but riding off a cliff with his motorcycle. That's a cool video. It's going to be a good movie. But that's the only thing going on. But they're not going to let him be nominated unless, have you seen the diversity to win an Academy Award for Best Picture? There are all these diversity things that they have to
Chris Yalley said, what are you like telling Picasso? You know transgenders in your painting, Picasso.
Yeah.
So change it if you want to go, you know, display it. I mean, it's just, and of course she got attacked, right? And the minute she went out there, you know, the swarms of the hate mongers engulfed her.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Hey, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much to our guests, Chris Doty, Casper Stockham. Go to Casper's website, check out how to volunteer. They'll get back to you. It's a good problem he's having. They're busy. So
well, he gave you the numbers. So you just call him personally and say, I want to volunteer.
That's right.
Go. And we'll have, what's his name? Saltzman. Saltzman will call.
On Friday, we're going to have Patrick Neville on for the Weekly Minority Report. More stuff going on about ballot issues. You're going on here about that. If you miss any of our podcasts or you want to listen live, you can always catch them at chuckandjulie.com. We'd love to have you go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Also, you can follow us on at Chuck and Julie One.
And we'll talk about Synergetics and all the great things they can do for you. They did for me and they did for Peter and for a lot of other people on our next show, because I really want to boost that. I should note, this is a little note, and maybe we're running out of time, but I went from 308 to 269 and on this diet that Synergetics, you know, suggested the foods and how to do things and everything else. So I lost close to 40 pounds. I went from 308 to 269. I'm now on a new one. I went back up.
That's brave of you.
Well, you're joining me, but I'm not. She's just cheating and following the thing. But so I'm planning to go from 276 down to 245.
Yay.
But you'll get to watch me. Either I'm doing it and I won't look thinner, or I will look thinner. So this is an acid test for me. But you'll get to watch it, and I think hopefully I will look Even more handsome.
You look even more handsome even than you more. Now. Hey, that'll fashion. Do it. That's right. That'll do it for us, everybody, on this Wednesday. Join us on Party Friday. Once again, thank you to everybody. And thanks to Thomas and all the folks at BBS. Have a great day.
Take care. Chuck and Julie, True Straight Up. Bye-bye.